a lot of Dr. Pepper because there's nothing else in it for me. But today, I promise you, there is something that God wants to do. Our theme for this year is beyond. Beyond so all can hear. So today, we're going to look and ask God to help us to go beyond what we would have planned. If we had taken 3 or 4 months and said, listen, this is going to be Mission Sunday, and think about it and pray about it, we're going to ask you to even go beyond what God had already placed in your heart. But today, just showing up, and it's Mission Sunday, I'm going to ask you to just look beyond what you see and what you hear, and look deep within your heart and ask the Lord what He would like you to do. Because if you think it's just about giving, which a lot of it's going to be today, I'll be honest with you, I'm after your wallet, I'm after your checkbook, I'm after your savings account, I'm after your 401k. I just wanted you to get real alarmed and worked up so that you won't have to worry about the rest of it, because I'm not about any of those except for the ones that I can get access to. But today is all about missions. And you got to tell me, this is an out-of-body experience for me. You've never seen me beat you over the head with the Bible when it comes to an offering. You've never seen me go nuts. I don't go, you know, that wasn't enough. We're going to take up another offering. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not going to compete with anybody on TV that's going to tell you to give us a $1,000 seed today or else your well's going to dry up. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to tell you that today I'm a little pushy for missions. And I'm going to explain to you why. So let me take you back to last month, January. I mean, not that last month, but that's February technically, but January. We started preaching about lost things. In Luke, the 15th chapter, we talked about the lost sheep. It was the first parable of Jesus, three that he preached. And in that parable, he told us that there's a comfort zone that everybody gets to be in. And this sheep left this comfort of the herd. And it's out there, and the shepherd could have made a choice. Well, the 99 is worth just staying with. That probably, sheep probably deserves what he's getting. He probably was rebellious or irresponsible or whatever. But he left his comfort zone to go, and that's what missions is all about. Then he talked about the lost coin. He told the parable about this lady lost a coin, couldn't find it, looked everywhere, finally found it, and called everybody in and said, let's throw a celebration because I found my coin. And he emphasizes the value that is involved in the search. And then we saw the parable of what we call the prodigal son, the lost son. This is when it becomes very real. This is where flesh and bone starts coming together and we start forming skin and muscle, and there's a face and there's an expression and there's a name and there's a personality and there's a character to this. And most of the time when it comes to missions, we don't see that because it seems to be something foreign beyond us. It's a foreign language. It's a different look. We'll never go there. And it's hard to make that leap, but I know that we can because God is the one that's going to help us do that. But it's all about lives. At that point, it becomes very real because it's about people and not just things and not just dollar bills and not just checks and not just monthly commitments. And then we spent all last month talking about as disciples, let's do something. Let's grow deep. Let's really get founded as individuals, because we spent the first month of this year talking about the lost people out there that need to be saved, need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, need to have the compassion and the care of Christ. We need to reach these people. We did that for 3 weeks, and then we started saying, you know what? What about us? And it's not that we're being selfish, but how can we get our needs fulfilled as well? Because God doesn't use you as something disposable like we do our pop bottles and things like that. No, you're valuable. You know what? So, you know what? In the midst of all that, he wants to do something powerful in you. So we said, you know what, as disciples, let's just get busy and digging deep, getting really founded and rooted in Christ so that we can grow big and strong so that what? We can bear fruit. Because that picture is so incomplete without the fruit that's being bared. So that brings us back to where we are today, beyond, so that all could hear, because we want to do beyond what we've ever done before. We want to be stretched today. Now, nobody ever got out of bed this morning and said, you know what, I really want to be tested. I really want to be stretched. I want to be challenged. We don't do that in our flesh, but our spirit is always up for the challenge. Our spirit is always looking for a new obstacle to overcome, always ready for a new challenge to have to face, a new race to have to run, a new battle to win. Our spirit is constantly doing that, so please, don't ever, ever put a limitation on your spirit, because we got to go beyond our limitations. We got to go beyond what God has called us to do. Only the joy and the satisfaction of serving God is going to be reached beyond what we think we should normally do. It's those moments when you opened up the Bible and you said, I'm going to read for 5 minutes, and you ended up being there 15, 20, 25, 30, sometimes an hour. You're going, wow, If I'd have stopped at 5, I wouldn't have gone beyond that. And look what I found over here. It's amazing how that works, and that's what God wants to do with us today. I'm convinced of that with all my heart. So I'll take you back to Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 15. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And it's the going that gives us purpose. It's not the planning, it's not the prompting, it's not the good intentions, it's not the, hey, this is a great idea, it's not the committees, it's the going. If we're an incredible, powerful Assemblies of God denominational missions force out there, home missions, foreign missions, you name it. But you know what? If they'd ever went, then we're just sitting in the garage, spinning our wheels, revving our engine, but nothing ever happens. And that's what we're not going to do that today. Listen, missions is the heartbeat of the church. I want you to take your bulletin out. I want you to look at that just real quickly. Look at all these missionaries that we support monthly. They're foreign missionaries, they're home missionaries, missionary projects. I want you to see this so that you'll know that these names represent places, and these places represent people, but they're real people with real faces and real names and real families. That's why I asked John to share today. I said, will you give us a missionary emphasis? Because I can share that from the perspective of a home missionary, but you know what? I never had to learn the language. I never had to leave Oklahoma. You know, mine was a piece of cake. It was a walk in the park compared to what John and his family did. So I want you to know these people. I want you to see their names and their faces, if you will, because they're represented as something very, very real here. We have home missionaries. We have missions projects. I want you to know that our church is very active in doing things. It's because of you that we can do that. You see, there's something that's very, very real. Missions is the motor that drives this thing. It's the significance and the purpose that we find. And there's three parts to that going, okay? First, there's the preparation, which comes in prayer. John and them would have never gone anywhere. They didn't pray about it. They began to pray. That was their prerogative. That was their important. They prayed about it, prayed through. God said, go, and they went. The second part is the sending. Somebody has to send them. If they were not able to go to our churches and ask for the funds to do this and to get the support that they needed, they wouldn't have been able to do it. There's not enough spare time jobs out there to support a missionary to get to that point to where they can go. And then the last part is go. They went. So the role that we play today is the senders. We're the senders. We're the people that do that. And you know what? When a church gets its priorities right, things happen. Exciting things happen. So you showed up today. It's Mission Sunday. It may have been on the calendar. You may have been aware of it through the bulletin. But you kind of show up sometimes asking that question. So what's the big deal? I'll tell you why it's a big deal for this church is because of two things. Number one, missions has always been such a part of this church that it's real easy for it to just be what we've always done. Just another day of missions. Just another, you know, day that we talk about missions. Next week, we'll have Mike Caldwell, and he'll be in our pulpit. He's a missionary. We've been supporting him since he got off the ark. I mean, this guy has been on our list so long, it's pitiful. We need to just get rid of him, probably. No, I'm just kidding. Don't tell Mike I said that. We're keeping him. But, you know, and it's one of those things where we've been in missions so long. Some of you have been from churches, other churches, and this is now your home church. Missions is all you've ever heard and all you've ever done. And sometimes it could just be another day and another walk in the park. Instead of reminding yourself, I need to look at this thing all brand new and all fresh. I remember when I was a little kid that we had three channels. Remember that? ABC, NBC, CBS, you know. And we had one dad. Remember that? You used to have just one dad, too. We had three channels, one dad. We were a different family back then. It's kind of different from nowadays, huh? But I remember that my dad was the lord of the TV, and whatever he wanted to watch, we had to watch. You know why? Because it was important to him. We didn't get a choice in it. But you got to understand, missions can't be important because it's only important to the church. It has to be important to me. It has to be important to you. And you have to somehow fight through that and go beyond your natural inclination to say, you know what, yeah, let's go, church. Yeah, you do it, pastor. Yeah, you board members, you approve this. Let's have some missionaries in. Go beyond that and say, you know what, now it's important to me. Find a way to do that. I know it starts up here, but it can go all over the place. Like my hat today, by the way. I looked this up online. I'm supposed to be somewhat of a cadet in the Navy, the Russian Naval unit, and I've probably offended everybody that's ever worn the uniform in Russia, so please don't tell anybody I put this on today. They'll probably show up in my house. Missions can't be about just the church. We give the church permission to do it. It has to be about me and what I'm going to do. We're going to go three areas real quick and tell you how you can do this. Number one is to look at the facts. The fact is, missions is about transformed lives. If it is ever just about dollar bills, if it's ever just about a budget, if it's ever just about a plane ticket, if it's ever just about a place to stay and language school and learning to know these people and sending somebody over there, then we're done. It's about transformed lives. Aren't you glad that John didn't have to get up here and say, yes, we did this, we went over there, and nobody got saved? Aren't you glad he didn't say, you know what, we did, we packed it up, and we came home? Because nothing happened. Nobody's life was ever touched. And ours was defeated. No, it's about transformed lives. If you take that human element out of this, the facts are you're avoiding the facts. And we've got to focus on this clearly. The support, the money that you and I do, the prayers that we have, it's about transformed lives. It's about people who didn't know Jesus who know Jesus. It's about people who were serving a God that was not going to ever love them, ever serve them, and now they found a God who not only loved them and served them, but loved them and served them to the point that he died for them. This is what we have to remind ourselves. It is the joy of the gospel. Lives being changed, it is what causes us to just get up in the morning with a smile on our face. It is people that had extinguished futures find new futures. Their lives were ruined, but now it has been saved through that Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fact. The fact is it's about transformed lives. But then you add to that feelings. And these are not in conflict with each other. Instead, they work in coordination with each other. Your feelings are very important about this. You know, I hear the need, Pastor, and technically I understand, but I'm just not associating with the need. Well, let me tell you what. Missions is all about the facts, obviously, and transformed lives, but it's a spiritual thing. It's also emotional. Missions is emotional. I got to tell you, whenever something spiritual happens, I get emotional. Whenever a song is sung up here and it just grabs you in your heart and you just get caught up in it, whether your hands are raised or whatever, or maybe sometimes it reduces you to tears, man, that's emotional. And too often we have worked missions void of our emotions. We've let our hearts stay on the shelf when our wallets and our book and our purses and our mindset was, let's do this, but we left our hearts out of it. Let me tell you what, more has been accomplished through the heart than ever was through the brain or through your muscles. God says, listen, I want you to be connected with this thing. It's emotional. There's a verse of Scripture, Matthew, the 9th chapter, where Jesus looks at the crowd, and the Bible says that he was just bummed out because of what he could see. These people were lost like sheep without a shepherd, the Bible says. That they had been depressed, they'd been hurt, they had been ripped off. And the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on them. Meaning it broke his heart. He saw these people and it emotionally affected him. And that's what we have to do with missions. Sometimes you have to do that cognitively instead of emotionally. There has to be enough discipline in our life to where we have enough discipline up here, enough maturity up here, to where it travels just the 18 inches down to our heart, and our hearts are broken for this. We show videos of tsunamis and earthquakes. We've shown you Haiti. We've shown you all kinds of stuff, and we've responded accordingly. We'll tell stories. I can't wait until July. July, we are hosting Freedom House. It's the young ladies that are over from the Teen Challenge Center over in Sepulpa, and they're going to come here that Sunday morning, and they are going to break your heart. They're going to tell you about how that they had lost their lives, had ruined their lives, drugs, addiction, you name it, but how that they have found their life. They're getting their families back. They're getting their children back. They're getting their self-respect back. It's going to break your heart. I don't have those this morning, so we're going to have to use this to get down into here so that our hearts will be connected and get into this. Spiritual things move me, don't they, you? Spiritual things move me. The third thing is this. We got to rely on our faith. It's going to take faith. You see, fact and feelings, they just kind of make it down the road. But it's faith that really accomplishes all of this. What did the Bible say in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Don't you feel that frustration when you try to do what you think is normal, what you think is rational? You look at your checkbook, and here you go. I'm talking money today. You know, you go, yeah, that's probably what I ought to do. But then after you do that, sometimes there's a little bit of an empty feeling there because your faith wasn't exercised. All you did was get the calculator out, run it through your head. I can do this. That's an easy thing to do. I'm asking you to use your faith today. I'm not going to abuse you. I'm not going to beat anybody over the head, but I'm going to ask you to use your faith because you can't operate in God's work without faith. You just can't do it. Let me tell you about two churches. There's a church over here, and nothing's really going on. Not a whole lot of move of God there. They never hear about miracles, talk about testimonies of people getting healed or lives coming back together. Matter of fact, whenever they get together, the music is just kind of boring, and they just kind of go through the motions. The pastor preaches. They just kind of come and go. Nothing ever happens in that church. They never see new people. They never have to worry about a visitor sitting in their seat because no visitors come to that church. But then there's another church, and exciting things are happening, regardless of how you measure it, whether it's huge leaps or whether it's just small steps. But there's an undercurrent. There's something going on. The Spirit of God is moving in that place. And every now and then, the Spirit of God gets busted loose, freaks people out. Every now and then, the people kind of get bold and crazy, and they want to see things happen. They want to see the lost saved. The altars are kind of busy at times, and there's just people just all over the place praising God and praying and stuff like that. The worship is fantastic. You know what the difference between those two churches is? One's working in the natural, the other's working in the supernatural. And that's what we got to do today. Let me tell you, you can only go from the natural to the supernatural in your faith. There's not enough knowledge in your head to manipulate and go there. There's not enough feelings that you can conjure up that will do that, because they'll all be fake whatsoever you do. So one is doing what they can see. The other is doing what they can see through God. And that's the difference between these two churches. And that's the difference that we need to have today. Hebrews 11:1 says this: faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The difference from going from here to here is going to be faith. The difference between this church making a difference anywhere in the world, much less anywhere beyond the borders, or I should say the limitations of our doors, is faith. Because you know what? We got a community to reach too. If you think missions is just about over there, you haven't been looking around very much, because the mission starts right outside of our doors. And that's what's going to happen today. It is what takes us from what's on hand and what's available and what you think you can do to the thing that God says, I want you to go beyond. I want you to do a little bit more. Luke 1:37 says, with God, nothing is, you fill in the blank, impossible. That's right. So I'm going to ask you to do three things today. I'm going to ask you to just be a part of something. I asked John to share what I would call the missionary emphasis, and I said, I'm going to follow through with the missionary challenge. I think we need to be challenged today, and I'm going to challenge you to be a part of this. I got to tell you, this goes against my grain, because I'm the kind of guy that I was going to kind of wrap my arm around you and say, hey, you know what? Let's give to Jesus. What do you think? Hey, let's see if we can boost that budget up a little bit. What do you think? What do you think it'd be a good idea if you know, we did a little bit better than what we really thought? But you know what? God told me about 2 years ago, he said, you know, those people, they don't need a pat on the back anymore. They need a pastor. They need a leader. They need somebody to show them where to go. They need somebody to prod them. Now, I got to tell you, I'm having a little out-of-body experience on all of that stuff. But God's doing it in my heart before he's doing it in yours. And I'm going to be true to what God has asked me to do. So the first thing I want you to do is I want you to make your commitment to missions today. I want you to make a monthly missions commitment today. There's a missions pledge card that's in your bulletin. If you do not have one of these, I would like you to raise your hand right now, so these guys can make sure that you get one. Just raise your hand. They're going to come down there and get it. And even if you don't do anything with it, I'd like you to have one of these things so you can use it as a prayer thing, okay? I want you to take this today, and I want you to look at it very carefully. It is called a faith promise. It's not a pledge. A pledge is what we can do in our own resources. A faith promise is what we're doing based on what God's resources are. I got to tell you, if you look at the checkbook, and I understand there has to be a little wisdom involved in all this, but today I'm going to ask you to make a commitment, a monthly commitment to missions. And I'm going to ask you to do it with your heart and your spirit, and I want you to pray about it and ask God if he will allow you to go beyond what you're thinking and make sure it hooks up with him. Listen, there's a million stories about this, so I'm not going to go down that road, but it is so cool how the husbands and wives usually end up asking each other, well, what do you think? What do you think? And it's ended up the same thing or whatever. Well, I'm going to tell you, whatever your wife thinks or whatever your husband thinks, just add a zero, and that's God's will. It works for me? Okay. Thank you for at least chuckling a little bit there. But that's what I ask you to do today. The second thing is this. Listen to me very carefully. Please put me in a position to never have to say no to a missionary. Please, as the pastor of this church, when I get the calls, and I get them all the time, a missionary is needing a place to preach. They're needing a project built. They're needing something done. Help me to be in a position where I can say yes instead of no. Because I have to be responsible along with the board to what our budget can do and what it cannot do. And we have to make decisions. And every time I have to make a decision that is no or less than what I'd like to do, I feel like I've failed a missionary. And with your help, God will help us to do this. So help me, number two, to never have to say no to a missionary. And number three, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get your first faith promise check written right now and put it with this card and put it in the offering in just a second when we pass that out. I want you to just take a second right now. This is where your faith gets to be exercised. I've made my check out. I've prayed about this, asked God what he wants me to do. Here it is. I've written it down, recorded it on this card. I'm going to take the top part, leave it with myself so it's a reminder of me. But I want you to take this, fill it out, and put it in this offering today. Would you? So take a second right now and do that. This is where the technical part of Pastor Dave comes at you. This is where I'm that barker at the fair. You know, your pastor, hey, come pitch some balls at the milk cans. You know, I'm gonna just rail at you and see if I can get you to do that, all right? But first, we're going to pray. Everybody bow your heads with me. Father, I need your help desperately. I am not Jerry Lewis. I am not a fundraiser. I'm not a campaign manager. I'm not a spokesman for people that need to raise money. I know what it is when I was a home missionary to have to go to churches just like this and ask them to help me. Father, I do not have the personal abilities and the skills to make what I think you want to happen, happen. This has to be the moment where I put it over into your hands. And as a congregation, we also put it into your hands. We ask you that right now you would help us to go beyond what we're thinking to see what you're thinking. God, that we would reflect that by giving, participating, writing a check, making a monthly commitment, our faith promise to do what you want us to do today. Father, this is the only time that I will ever do this with this church, because missions is the most important priority of any church. If we will honor you with missions, you will always honor us in anything that we are faced with. I'm convinced of that. So as I, God, put others first, I pray tonight, today, this morning, that you will honor me. And my pledge to you is that I will love you and I will follow your heart, whatever you ask me to do. I pray that over our people today. I pray that over our people right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask your musicians to come back. They're going to sing a song. And at the end of that, we're going to take up our offering. While they're playing and while they're singing, I'm going to ask you to contemplate a little bit further. Hey, excuse me, what happened to your outfit, bud? You lost it. It's still Mission Sunday. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry about the distraction there. Okay. So I want you to think about that. If you're not prepared to give in this offering today, that's okay. You can give it later, but make sure that we get a part of their monthly pledge, okay? Because this is going to loosen us up. This is going to free us up to do some dynamic things for missions in the next few months. Amen?